You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into Diabetes and You, and Dr. Danu is already alive and ready to go. So, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Tosca. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am good, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers. I'm broadcasting it live on our Diabetes Association Facebook page as well. And thanks for joining us for another edition of Diabetes on You this Thursday. We have a very special show lined up today, continuing with our series, Living with Diabetes. We have someone very special we're going to talk to in a bit. But before I start, of course, I'd like to say what's going on in the association. And even before that, I want to say, I don't think they'll be hearing me right now because they'll be sitting exams, but we have three young children who are sitting SEA exams today, who are three or four type 1 diabetes warriors, living with diabetes. I just want to say Maya, Micaiah, and Zenobia, all of us are behind you. And of course, we have these three young children who have been living with diabetes. And we're going to hear from Cristiano, who is with us today, and hear his journey about diabetes. But again, I just want to wish them all the best today in their SEA exams. Other things going on in the association, of course, we are continuing our diabetic eye screening program on April 10th. We're going to be at the Chaguanas head office, our Chaguanas head office. And there are other locations soon to be announced in the month of April as well. So look out for those. And of course, that's a free diabetic eye exam, a free dilated eye exam, where we look at the back of the eyes to see if there's any issues that may have been caused by diabetes. We also would have wrapped up our preliminary round of our diabetes school quiz for standard 3 children. We had hundreds of entries. So I want to say congratulations to all of those young children who would have participated. Very soon, we will announce the semi-finalists, and they will come, of course, to the second round of the quiz. And then the quiz is going to be in June, I believe. So the finals of the quiz will be in June. So we're looking out for that, definitely. Of course, I want to remind our sixth formers that our sixth form internship program is running as well. Monday, June 1st is the deadline. Of course, we've had hundreds of entries already, but this is your chance to not lose this opportunity to become an intern for the holidays. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity if you want to get into healthcare, if you want to get into volunteerism, or if you just want to learn more about the organization, then you could sign up to be an intern at the association for the summertime. We also have a fundraiser that's coming up, the I Am Jazz Festival. I Am Jazz Festival is going to be on Easter Sunday. Tickets are on sale now. You can get tickets at the Diabetes Association head office. Or you could also get tickets at many of the other locations. Give us a call at the association. We'll let you know where to get tickets. Of course, once you support this event, I Am Jazz, funds are going to be going towards the organization for many of our activities, including our CGM program for children with diabetes. So lots of things happening at the association, of course, a lot more. But I want to get into the conversation because, as I said at the top of the hour, I have a guest joining me today. And as we continue to talk about living with diabetes, I've had previously an adult who's been living with diabetes for some time, and she was a nurse, so that's, of course, Lisa. I've had a caretaker of someone with diabetes, and today I have a young man who is living with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, and I heard about him a few weeks ago, actually. And I would have heard him speak and heard his story. And of course, I needed to share his story with my audience as well. So I want to welcome to our program, Cristiano Mejias. I think that's how we pronounce the name. Is it Cristiano?
Mejias, yes.
So thanks, Cristiano, for taking your time joining in. And again, we're going to be talking about your story today. And I want to let people know, of course, out there that there are many young people living with diabetes, just like we have children living with diabetes, and all of the obstacles that young people have to go through, you have additional because you also have to take care of your diabetes. Yes. So I want to start by you introducing yourself to our listeners and viewers. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Are you in school? Do you work? Tell us, who is Cristiano?
Well, my name is Cristiano Mejias. I am personally driven by personal growth and helping other people. I enjoy building my brands. I work on projects that would actually make a difference in people's lives. Right now, I'm currently in Offer 6, and I'm also involved in running my own businesses and working on a foundation, which I would focus on supporting and raising awareness for people with diabetes.
Mm-hmm. So of course, and you said you're Upper 6, so you would have been, you're still in school, and right now you're about getting ready for CAPE, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're getting ready for CAPE. So of course, you have all of that to deal with. But I want to get into your story. I wanted to think back to the time you were first diagnosed. And how old were you, and what was that like through those initial days? And can you remember, tell me what you could remember from back then?
Well, I was 12 years old when I was diagnosed, and at first it was overwhelming. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what the condition was about. The first few days I was in the hospital, it was just a lot of confusion. But I knew my life was going to change. So there was a lot of fear on my end and confusion. But I mean, over time, I started to understand my condition and I learned how to manage it well.
So I wanted to walk me step by step. If you could remember that, so you were 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Did you feel any way differently? What happened that actually alerted your parents that something may have been wrong?
There was a lot of weight loss, a lot of nausea all the time. And there were times where I could not even get up. I was so weak. And I think it was just one day that it got so bad, my parents took me to the hospital. And that is when they discovered that my blood sugar was abnormally high. And I was admitted to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And you're 19 now, right? So that would have been about 7-ish years ago.
Yeah.
So you were admitted to hospital. When you went in there, could you remember what was going through your mind? Do you remember how you were feeling besides just feeling ill?
I was definitely confused because at that point in time, nobody had told me what was going on yet. Mm-hmm. It was only, about 3 days after the doctor sat down with me and they told me that, listen, this is the condition that you have developed. They explained the condition to me. And as I said before, I was confused and I was scared. I mean, you hear about people having diabetes all the time. You would never think that you would be one. So it was definitely scary for me at first.
Mm-hmm. And from those first days, were you in the hospital for a while? Did you?
Yeah, I was actually now starting Form 1. So I had to miss out a few weeks of school, the first few weeks of school, as I was in the hospital. And then I took about a week to recuperate and try to get to know myself with this condition now.
Mm-hmm. So this was 7 years ago. So from then, what happened next? So you came out of hospital and they told you what? You need to take injections, you need to take insulin every day. What was that like in the very first days?
I mean, in the first few days, it was a little scary because I've never been used to needles. I've never had to do it myself. And now you're in hospital and these doctors are coming every few hours to inject you with this insulin. They have to check your blood sugar. And I mean, it is something that a lot of my family members say I'm really brave to be doing. But I always say I have no choice but to. So, and then when I got home, it was now no doctors are doing it for you. You have to learn how to do it to yourself. Your parents have to be there to help you. So it was definitely different, but I got it.
Yeah. So did you start doing it yourself right away or did you?
At first, maybe the first 2 weeks, it was my parents. Mm-hmm. And then there was one night I said, okay, maybe I should just... I looked at a YouTube video and I saw how to do it and I tried it at first. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that bad. And after that, I continued doing it for myself.
So how many times a day right now do you have to inject yourself?
3 times per day. In the morning, before lunch, and before dinner.
So you take, of course, your medication at school as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll get to that because I want to talk to you a little bit more about how school is like living with diabetes. Because, of course, as you know, many, many young people we have at all different ages are living with diabetes and have to go through school. Yeah. Now, I want to I want you to tell me a little bit about the support that you've had in the earlier days. That time that you first was diagnosed, was there anyone around at that time to teach you about the things that you need to do? How did you all know, or your mom as well? And I wish we had your mom here with you as well to give us that side of the story. But if you could remember, where did you all find those resources? How did you know, how did your mom, your parents know what to give you to eat, or how to take your medication, what are the things you shouldn't and shouldn't do? Where do you get that information?
Well, while my stay at the hospital, the doctors would have come, they would have explained what I should, shouldn't eat. I think one of my dietitians, she gave me a bunch of sheets, and she gave me what not to eat, what I should eat, how to eat. And I also have an aunt who is a dietitian, so if there was anything we were ever unsure about at home, we would call her and she would give advice. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you had that resource. And I mean, many of the children who have been diagnosed would have had to have these resources as well. I know you weren't aware of the association's camps and the things that we do at the association. So I'm glad now you know what we do, because now you could assist those who might need that assistance. And again, we have about 100 children under the age of 18 who are with us, of course. And this is why we continue to advocate. We want to let people out there know, if you have a child with diabetes, reach out to us in the association, and we have the resources to help. Because we do all of these things. We will teach the children how to take care of their diabetes, by how to take the medication, how to do the testing, how to manage their diet, how to manage exercise, all of those things. So I'm glad that now you are here and you could be an advocate with us at the association, and we can be able to reach more of these children who need this type of help, right? Now, I want to talk a little bit about your school life and how is living with diabetes at school like, in terms of taking your medication, having your food, how do your friends interact with you? And of course, another very important question, have you ever experienced any bullying or stigmatism because of that, living with diabetes? I want to hear from you.
Okay. In Form 1, of course, I haven't told much people. I always kept it to myself up to about very late, maybe Form 5. So in Form 1, what I used to do was, there was this diabetic office administrator in the office. So I would go there, and she would help me. She would test my blood sugar. She would make sure that I take my insulin. And yes, at first some kids were like, why do you always have to go to the office? And I would just stay quiet because I really don't want anybody to know. Mm-hmm. But then in Form 4 and 5, as I started to tell more of my friends about it, I started to get more comfortable with it. There was times where I would need to take my insulin and I wouldn't feel to go all the way down to the office. So I would carry my alcohol wipes. I would do it right in the class. One of my best friends, I taught him how to help me do it. So he would hold my hand and I would inject into my arm. Mm-hmm. So it definitely came with some challenges at first. Like sometimes still dealing with lows, and you would feel different from some of your peers at school because, you know, everyone has all their sweet snacks, everyone's eating what they want. But at the same time, it really did build that discipline and resilience in me, I would say. So it forced me to be responsible and aware of my health from a very young age.
So walk me through a typical day in your life in at school. So you go to school. Do you test during school time? Do you do anything differently compared to any of the other children in school? What would you say?
Other than injecting my insulin at lunchtime, and so I test my blood sugar in school when I feel like, okay, I need to have something to eat, I might feel low, that is when I test it. Other than that, it is just injecting insulin at lunchtime, and that is a quick process, so it really is not bad as of right now. Mm-hmm.
So you take your insulin to school and you get it?
Yes.
Yeah. So we need to talk more about all of these experiences that you have. And of course, I want to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk some more about the things that you want to see for children living with diabetes and young people living with diabetes, because you're no longer a child, right? You're 19 years old now. So I wanted to tell me from your point of view, what is needed in Trinidad and Tobago for young people and children with diabetes. But before that, let's take a break. Base is in studio. Let's take that break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Cristiano Mejías, and of course in diabetes and you. So Base, over to you.
Hi, folks. Freedom 106.5 FM. We will now return to Dr. Andrew Daniel and his guests in diabetes and you.
Thanks, Base. And we are here with Cristiano, and he is, of course, living with type 1 diabetes. And we've been talking about his experiences. And before the break, we would have ended by talking about how his school life has been and what and how has he been living with diabetes during school. And I want to just add a little bit to that conversation. And I want you to tell me, and I know you said that you had that support from your parents and your aunt, who's a dietitian. But how does everybody else in your family be there for you? What are some ways that they may have assisted you living with diabetes, maybe at a family event, at a family gathering? Is it that everybody knows Cristiano is coming and they need to have certain foods there? Or is it that they need to all, or they are they always looking out for your blood sugar? How has this impacted your family?
Well, I don't think they would change the menu or anything like that, but definitely at family events, they would make sure that I eat. You know, they would always check up to make sure that I eat. They would make sure that I have enough. And they would, yes, they would make sure that I'm not running low, and they would make sure that I take my medication. So that is how they would support me.
Mm-hmm. So definitely you do have that support of both your parents and extended family as well. Do you have siblings?
I have one younger brother.
Does he know, how young is he? What does he do?
He's 15 years old, and I mean, he knows that I have to take my insulin. He knows when I'm low. He knows what to do when I'm low. Mm-hmm. He asks no questions. When I say, listen, I'm low, you need to bring me this or that, he would do it. So I think he's supportive as well.
Yeah. And so a question that I want to ask is your teachers, and you would have had various teachers along the years of being in school, right? If you want to call out any of them, any of their names, that's fine as well. But during that school life, have your teachers been supportive? And have they, besides that one administrator that you told us about who had diabetes, did the teachers support you any way? Did they provide extra resources to you, extra time to you? Did they consider when your blood sugars are low? Did that happen at all?
Yes, my blood sugar has actually run low a few times in school. My entrepreneurship teacher, especially, now, like, I've been low about twice in her class, and now she always asks me if I have something sweet in my bag, if I have eaten anything for the day. So she's there. There's also my biology teacher. She's very supportive in everything I do. So, yeah, I do have supportive teachers.
Mm-hmm. And so definitely have that support of the teachers. And I like to hear that, because we've often heard of incidences where children have not been supported by their teachers as they may have been or should have been. Now, I don't know if you've heard of it, but of course we have many reports of teachers and even, well, of course, bullying taking place because of children with diabetes. And even teachers not allowing or understanding diabetes for some children. Have you heard of that? Have you experienced any of that?
I have experienced it once with one teacher. She didn't understand why I needed a snack during the class. She didn't understand. So I had to definitely explain. But we do need some kind of education to the teachers, explaining and teaching them how to support our diabetic mm-hmm. children, especially. So just so we avoid issues like this going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And definitely it's a project of the association that we wanted to kick off last year. Hopefully this year we'll be able to do it, where we could get teachers who have children with diabetes in their class or about to have children with diabetes in their class to kind of just give them a little bit more information of how to not take care, but at least know the signs, how to manage, how to treat emergencies. Because often, I mean, if a child has asthma in the class, every teacher knows exactly what they might have to do. Or their children with diabetes as well. Again, we need to know how to quickly treat, how to quickly attend to a child who may have any of these issues. Now, Cristiano, I want us to get down to, from your experiences and what you how you're seeing diabetes care is in Trinidad for young people, where do you think we could have improvements? Where do you think we could do better in terms of diabetes care in Trinidad and Tobago?
I mean, in Trinidad and Tobago, I personally think we need more accessible resources like what the association provides. I think we need more public education, definitely, and stronger support systems, I would say, in communities. Because there should really be more programs in the schools, especially, and communities that would help people really understand diabetes and support those who live with it, like our kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean, affordability is always something I would talk about, and access to the proper care and supplies. That is something that would always need improvement in Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, so let's break it down a little bit. So the first thing you mentioned is access to care. What are the specific things that you think we need to provide more of and we don't have enough of? What are the things that you need for your care that isn't available enough?
We have the medications, we have everything that you need to survive, but what we need is more people to talk to. Yes, there are some clinics that you could talk to your nurse, you could talk to your doctor, but I think we really just need a support system where we could go and we could voice our concerns, we could talk, we could just say what we've been going through. And I think that is something that we need in Trinidad. Mm-hmm.
So definitely being able to get that emotional support is important. And we see that. And I think I mentioned to you that we do have, besides our camps, we actually do an activity called the T1D Lime, which is for young people your age, for them to come and speak to each other and, of course, speak to professionals and voice their concerns and voice their, you know, issues that they may be having. And that support is often very much needed. But I want to go back to the resources. What about, do you use a CGM at all, or do you still stick your finger?
I don't. I still stick my finger with mm-hmm. the regular lancets.
So what do you know about CGMs, or would you like to try CGMs, or why haven't you done it so far?
I would like to try it, but it again, availability. Mm-hmm. I have done research on it maybe for the past one or two years with my parents, but again, it really comes down to availability. So, and then where there is, it really is expensive. So mm-hmm. it is something that I mostly see in America. So.
Well, again, we have CGMs in Trinidad. The Diabetes Association has CGMs, and we've been providing CGMs for children with diabetes for the past couple of years. So, again, this is why it's so important for us to talk more about diabetes, because children and parents who may not know that we have these resources in Trinidad can now know that we have them.
Yes.
So I'm letting you know we have CGMs in Trinidad. We have many children with CGMs in Trinidad, and you could get a CGM. So as soon as we get more CGMs, I'll provide one to you and you'll be able to try it.
Awesome.
You know how it works. And of course, that's going to have you not need to stick your finger as often as you do. How many times do you stick your finger for the day?
I would say for the most four, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So four times generally. And do you do anything differently? Are you athletic? Do you do sports? Do you do anything that might cause your blood sugars to drop low or go up higher at certain times and you might need to test more?
Definitely after exercise. So I exercise on the evenings, and I do definitely do see a huge difference after exercise. I definitely drop really low. Mm-hmm. Even if I eat or don't take as much insulin, it mm-hmm. still drops low. So.
And again, this is why CGMs are important, because you'll be able to see, and even before your blood sugar is about to drop low, you will hear an alert saying that your blood sugar is about to drop low. And what do you do when your blood sugars are dropping low? What do you do when your blood sugars are dropping low? When you feel your blood sugars dropping low, what do you, and maybe it's something that you could let people know out there, when they feel their blood sugars are low, how do you feel and what do you do?
I feel shaky. I start to sweat. I feel weak when I'm walking, and my vision definitely gets darker. So I immediately get something sweet, maybe a glass of juice. If that doesn't help, I would have a sweet snack on hand. But I think in regular people, what you should look out for is the weakness, the faint feeling. Because most times you don't eat during the day. Regular people don't eat during the day, and they have that feeling not knowing it's their blood sugar dropping.
Yeah. And so you would know, of course, you need to. So you normally keep, what do you keep on you? A juice? What do you keep on you?
Yeah, I keep a juice on.
Yeah, and that will raise your blood sugar if you need to.
Yeah.
So now we've talked a lot about diabetes and the things that you want to see, and again, the things that you need to do more of, which is, of course, I know you want to start a foundation, you want to help people with diabetes. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you want to do for people with diabetes?
Just provide that, well, while I'm not taking away what the foundation, what your association does, I definitely still want to provide some kind of support, and I want to do drives, and through donations, of course. I wanted to start this foundation because I said that, listen, I always have a drive for entrepreneurship. I always want to do something new. So I said, why not turn my diabetes into something that I can help other people with, you know? So I talked to my mom about it. I said, listen, I think we should do this. And she was on board with it. So currently we're in the process of registering that business, that foundation.
Mm-hmm. And what do you want to do for, you want to target young people, you want to target children?
Definitely young people and children, more kids and teens. And while it is focused on diabetics, I do want to still extend that to maybe children's in homes or the less fortunate children. So it is focused on children, but more specifically diabetics.
So definitely, and as I told you before, we would support you, and we, that's of course some of the work that we do, and we would definitely like to have you as an advocate, as a champion, young person, because we have lots of other young people your age who have had these lived experiences, and of course can help other people with those experiences that they've had. So I wanted to think back. Have you ever had a really bad experience during a diabetes time? Have you ever had to be hospitalized? What was that like? What was that like for you and your parents?
So at the beginning, well, before 4 and 5 started for me, I had a really rough summer. So at the end of summer, there was a day that I woke up and I found myself not being able to breathe properly. So of course, my dad took me to the doctor to find out what was wrong. And the doctor, I suppose he wasn't that experienced with diabetic care, so he diagnosed it as just anxiety. And only when we left, I started feeling more faint, and I believe I was unconscious. And my dad took me to the hospital. That is when they said that I was in ketoacidosis. So my blood sugar was really high, it was uncontrolled, and that was probably one of the worst times.
So you experienced that, and you know now, can you explain to someone now what is ketoacidosis and why does it happen? What does it do to your body? Did you learn about it after that experience?
I know that is when your blood sugar is really high and your ketones build up in the blood. This is not healthy at all for a diabetic because it starts to shut down your organs. Your body starts to fail you. So if not treated, it can result in death.
Definitely, and a lot of young people develop this if it is that the blood sugars aren't well controlled, and so you mentioned you had a rough summer. Now, without giving details, right, too many details, what are some things that may have, and it could be in general, you could just say, what are some things that might cause your blood sugar to not be well controlled in general? Just tell us, besides food and exercise, how much is the stresses that you had to go through influence your blood sugar? So did you experience that?
I don't mind telling you about the summer. It was just more of, you're getting there. I was maybe 16 years old. So going out with your friends, everybody's having what they want, that would put some stress on you. And stress is one factor that definitely raises your blood sugar without you even knowing it. And you would want to start to eat the things that you want, really start not, I would say, caring. And that is one mistake that I have made. It was not taking care of myself properly and just eating whatever I want, whenever I want, without, and maybe skipping insulin as well. Mm-hmm. So that is something that definitely took a toll on me that summer, and I ended up where I did.
Yeah. And we've heard that with many, many young people there, where they skip insulin, they just give up, saying, you know, I don't want to do this again. And they think that they could just quit diabetes and what they want. Have you felt like that?
I have. I definitely felt like I could just quit and do what I want, skip my insulin without necessarily taking into the consequences that I might face after. Mm-hmm.
So of course now you know exactly what you need to do.
Yes.
And your blood sugars, I'm assuming are well managed now, and you're not
way more, yes.
Right. And you're not getting into to too many lows or too many highs.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really, really good. Now I wanna talk some more. We need to take another break soon, but I wanna talk some more about, I know that you also, you said you're into entrepreneurship and you wanted to start, or did you already start a business, a clothing business, I believe?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So Chrisentials Club is basically my clothing brand that I started to think about it last year. And ever since then, I started to put things into place to start this new business. It really is a clothing line that I wanted something in my name. I wanted something that really shows what I am about. So I started doing these graphic tees, and I am doing hats as well. But I really want to expand into more stuff. As I said, I have a really, really bad drive for entrepreneurship. So everything gives me business ideas. But what Chrisential Club is graphic tees. We have graphic hats as well, and we are expanding into more things.
Are any of those graphic tees diabetes related? Any of those clothes?
I'm glad you asked that. So 2 days ago, my mom and my aunt called me. They said, you know, I think it's a really good idea that you should make a diabetic theme collection. Mm-hmm. So the club is actually now working on that, and we should be launching that very soon.
Okay. So what are your ideas? What do you think you're going to do? Are you going to come up with some designs? Are you come up with some inspirational quotes? What do you think that might look like?
So how Chrisentials jerseys are, they have something on the front, on the pocket, and then on the back it would have a quote. So what I'm thinking to do is maybe do something with a ribbon on the front, and in the back do a quote. And of course there would be different quotes, there would be different designs and colors to choose from.
Okay, so that sounds really interesting. And I mean, if we could, when you do have those ready, we'll definitely want to support you on that. Because of course I know that those funds may go towards your foundation or the work that we do at the association. So definitely we could be able to talk more about that. I think we need to take just one more break, and after that break we'll wrap up the conversation. We'll talk a little bit more about the things that you would like us to do with you and the association. And of course pieces of advice for children or young people out there living with diabetes. So let's take that short break, please. And when we come back, we'll continue with Christiana.
All right, so we now return as we get ready to wrap up Diabetes and You for this week, Dr. Andrew Danu and his guest.
Thanks, Bees. And of course, we're here with Christiano. Christiano is telling us about his story, living with type 1 diabetes, and we would have gone through so many things in the last hour, actually, talking about his life at school, at home, and about the things that he wants to do to help other young people living with diabetes. And of course, to remind our listeners, we do have our diabetes camp or type 1 diabetes camp coming up. And that's going to be in July. That camp is for children ages 6 to 17 years old. We're going to be having a week-long of activities where we're going to be teaching the children, working with them, lots of fun activities, of course, involved in the camp, helping these children take care of their diabetes and learn how to take better care of themselves. Of course, the camp is going to be an opportunity for children to interact with each other, because many, many children may have never interacted with other children like themselves living with diabetes. So often when you see these children come in and they make friends with others who are going through the same thing, they really form these lifelong bonds. So we're going to be having that camp for children living with diabetes. We also are going to be having a camp for children at risk of diabetes, at risk for type 2 diabetes, or children who are overweight. And that's another camp, the Child Lifestyle Camp, that we're going to be doing as well in the July-August period. And there is a new camp I want to start, and I would have announced it a while ago, which is a camp for adults who are living with diabetes as well, a boot camp. That's something that we have to do. But as we wrap up with Christiana, I want to ask you, have you interacted with other young people living with diabetes? What is that? What has that been like? Have you met others? Have you all assisted in each other in any way? Let me know about that.
Yes. So actually, I was enrolled in a clinic at the Cooper Children's Hospital for diabetics, and I have met a lot of children like myself, and they would organize, well, the doctor, she would organize games, and sometimes the days that we come, she would organize activities for us to interact. And I think that was really fun. You know, it was nice to meet other people like myself.
Mm-hmm. And that's Dr. Ragbir, right?
Dr. Ragbir.
Yeah. So I definitely want to shout to Dr. Anissa Ragbir, who would be running that. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Is it a adolescent clinic?
Adolescent
type 1 clinic. Very, very commendable in that service is available for young people. And I think it goes up to about 25 years, am I correct?
I think so, yes.
Yeah? So oftentimes, whenever the children would have been in the pediatric clinics, after they hit 16, and they have to go to adult clinic. And that is very difficult because it's totally different from what is needed, right? Is that what you had to do after you hit 16? Or did you go directly to Dr. Ragbir?
Yes, I had to go to the adult clinic, but that around that time is when we found out about Dr. Ragbir. So it was really just a transition from that to her clinic, which I think was really better.
Mm-hmm, because it's more targeted to your age group, right? And this is why this is so important. And those are the same young people we're going to be targeting for T1D Lyme. So we're going to be doing that activity through the association with Dr. Ragbir as well. She's a very close friend of the association. So we're looking forward to working with her on that. So, Cristiano, as we wrap up, I want to give your advice, or rather, if you had someone newly diagnosed with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, a young child newly diagnosed with diabetes, and they are feeling the way that you would have felt when you were first diagnosed at the age of 12, what would you tell them? What would you say to them?
I would stick to the same thing I said on the Trinidad and Tobago show. To don't let your condition, don't let your diabetes define you. Mm-hmm. You know, it is now a part of your life, but it really does not limit what you can achieve. So just take the time to understand your body. Stay consistent with your medication. Don't be afraid to, you know, lean on your family for that support. I would say that you are stronger than you think. You can live a really long and successful life. Just take care of yourself. You'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, and Christiana, as I said, I'm going to be giving you opportunities to speak to these young children. And I wanted to really give them that advice, and really, because they need that role model. They like to see older, young people living well with diabetes, because they often worry, like, what's going to happen to me? Do I have to do this for the rest of my life? Which is fine, but you could live a normal, healthy life when you want to take care of your diabetes, of course. And as I said, definitely, we're going to give you a CGM. You're going to be wearing that CGM. Because if you want to be an advocate, you need to show what diabetes technology is. The next step is, of course, to get an insulin pump, and we're trying to get pumps in Trinidad very soon, so that you really will have a closed loop system where, you know, you have an artificial pancreas. That's basically what it is.
Yes.
So we're looking into all of those technologies in Trinidad and Tobago, and there are lots of other things we're looking at for young people living with diabetes. And as I wrap up the show, Christiana, I want to thank you for taking your time to join us. I know you're studying for CAPE.
Yes.
Yeah, so good luck in your CAPE exams, and we know that you'll be with us in the association from now on. Of course, we have lots of things happening over the summertime, over the July-August vacation. We're going to be having you with us through that. So as I close, thanks so much, Cristiano. So as I close the program,
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You're welcome. So as I close the program, I just want to remind all listeners of the things that's happening in the association. Again, we are doing our Diabetes School Quiz. We have wrapped up the preliminary round, and the finals are going to be in June. So look out for that. Hopefully the finals will be broadcasted live somewhere, maybe on this network. So look out for that, and you'll be able to hear all of the things these young children learned about diabetes. We also have our sixth form internship program, and June 1st is the deadline. So need to register if you have a sixth former, or if you are in sixth form. Many of the sixth formers might be home right now, right? Waiting for CAPE, waiting to start CAPE. So of course we start right after CAPE, and we have a 7-week program where we work with these young people to develop them. Many of these young people are now at university. Even our first cohort is about to graduate university. Many of them would have done medicine, other health sciences, law, won scholarships, and all over the world. So we're very, very proud of these young people who have passed through our sixth form internship program. We hope that they come back to the Diabetes Association and give back to the organization. And that's a real aim of the program for me, really, that sustainability and that planning for the future for the young people. Of course, we have our diabetic eye screening program, and we have one availability for appointments, which is in April on the 10th. That's a Friday, and it's going to be in Chagonas or at our head office. There are going to be other locations for the month of April, but next week's show, I will let you all know when you can make appointments and what are the locations for that. And of course, we're continuing our lab services. We have HbA1c testing at the association, cholesterol testing, for lipid testing, kidney function test, renal function test, all of the above. And you can get it at the association in Chagonas at a discounted price, close to cost price. We're really trying to provide these things to persons so that they could be able to afford it, people living with diabetes. We also have an endocrinologist at the Diabetes Association. So if you would like to see a specialist living with diabetes and you need that support, you could come to the association, make an appointment. On Wednesdays, you could be able to make that appointment and come see the endocrinologist. And of course, we have a dietitian as well. So we have dietitians that you could see, make appointments again, and you could come and see them, and you could be able to get that personalized plan for yourself. Of course, this is free of charge. Now, if you need assistance from the Diabetes Association, you can give us a call at 607-3288. So 607-3288, that's our phone number. If you need to make any appointments, if you need to find out information from us, if you need to ask for assistance, give us a call and we'll be able to assist you. You could also reach any of our branches through that number as well. So just listen to the recording and you could be able to reach any of our branches throughout Trinidad and Tobago, and you could be able to join the branch and come out to our meetings. We have meetings once a month at various locations across Trinidad and Tobago. Even our youth arm and our diabetic youth support group, which is made of young people living with diabetes and parents of those children living with diabetes, they also meet. So we look out for that. So again, give us a call, 607-3288. And if you need assistance, you could also reach out to us on any of our social media networks, on Facebook and Instagram. So you could definitely be able to get that support from us. So I think we could wrap up there, Base. And I'm happy that we would have had this really nice show today and being able to tell Christiana's story. We're going to continue this series of living with diabetes, people living with diabetes, and I'll have some others. I know Mr. Pinal said he'll be willing to have a show and tell us about his experience living with diabetes. Hopefully soon we can be able to do that. But of course, next week we'll have another exciting show, another guest who's going to be joining us on Diabetes on You. Until then, have a great week. Have a good weekend. I know some holidays are coming up, so I hope that everyone enjoys. Our three children living with type 1 diabetes who would have written or writing probably right now, SEA, all the best of luck to them. So, Bees, over to you. And next time.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.